The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and may or may not be shared with the staff and management of this network.
Ghostly Talk!
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, where Bonnie is diligently typing along on her laptop.
Oh, I gotta get in the chat room.
This is Ghostly Talk on August 23rd, 2009.
That was creepy. Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Vroom, vroom. I am in a mood today. I saw the Selfridge Air Force Base air show yesterday right off of the balcony of my house. But today, it's Ghostly Talk. Tonight, King Fowley from Deceased Returns. And then we talk Sasquatch Research with Jason Valenti. And then later, our friend Stanton T. Friedman is in the house. You get that painting of, like, the King Tut guy.
Actually, that's Amber Rose's.
Oh!
She, that's something she painted back when she was in high school.
It is absolutely fantastic.
Well, it was kind of hiding down there, and then we've been kind of doing, the Haunted Winery has a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to, like, pack all this stuff, you know, and trying to keep things somewhat organized, and, yeah, the banners come down. You know, we usually have our banners up here. People, you can check out the Haunted Winery Studio at ghostlytalk.com if you want to see it. We usually have our Ghostly Talk banners up here for morale. And I don't know, other reason to put them up there. Yeah, don't, right. It don't work very well, but yeah. You know, the effort's there at least to get an E for effort or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was moving stuff around, and I just grab that. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this thing in a while. So we put that up there. Yeah, and it's a painting Amber did a long time ago, and she just kind of gave it to me and said, hey, you put it up in the studio if you want. So, yeah, along with all the other trinkets and stuff that we've gotten over the years here. The studio has, it's not only just a studio, it has all, it's about everything that's been given to us.
Yeah.
In one shape or another has been, you know, has been just put in here for us just to check out or whatever. And someday when we decide we're just tired of doing this show, I guess we'll fight over everything. Really,
it'll be like a divorce.
I thought I get that. You know,
you get two of those.
I want the case of for Ghost by J. Allen Danlin. You know, looking at the bookshelf over here. Or I want the Independence Day creature thing hanging over there. Or, you know, well, I'm gonna get the Zombie of the Year thing.
It's got your name on it.
And I think you should definitely get your Doug plaque back here that we got from the Arkansas Ghost Hunters a couple years ago. And yeah, we could fight over all kinds of stuff one day when we decide we hate each other too much, more than we hate each other now. So this
That'll take some doing.
Yeah.
What a happy opener.
Yeah.
Well, he asked about the picture, and you know, so that's just kind of how we got into that. But yeah, this is. I should take some new pictures of the studio because it really has. It's not cluttery at all, but it just. You know, we got cases over here for the road. And
a bicycle.
We talked about that.
It's yours.
Well, yeah, I'm keeping that.
I don't want it.
I think we talked about that that bike.
Yes, we did.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, this was Pete gave me my bike back. He reassembled it for me. He went in my parents' attic. Bonnie, you weren't here for this, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he reassembled my, he went in my parents' attic. This is my old bike from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
87 GT Performer, real, you know, high-end bike.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up there without me knowing about it and reassembled it for me and gave it to me at the BMX rally we went to because he kept pushing, you got to come to this rally, you got to come. And this is the reason I came there because he gave me my bike back. So now I have this, and I couldn't find any other place for it. Now it's blocking the closet.
It's a good thing we never go in there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm like, well, who goes in this damn closet anyways? And you don't even want to look in that closet anyways.
Right.
Because, first of all, half of it's taken up by all my gear, all my old, you know, my bass rig and stuff, and my guitars and whatnot are in there. So, yeah, that's not going to get touched for a while.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, we're working on it here. Maybe we'll put an addition on it or something like that and get more, so we can put more crap in here. So send us more crap. We always like getting more crap. P.O. Box 321, Warren, Michigan 48090.
Preferably edible crap.
Don't last very long in here.
No.
The edible crap does not clutter the room at all.
No, we don't have any problem, you know, just getting rid of that real quick for you guys. It's usually done here on the air.
Yeah.
Crunch.
You get to enjoy us eating just fattening whatever people. Why do people send us crap? Like, send us a fruit basket. There's got to be a way they can make it happen. I mean, Christ, your roommate, he's got a refrigerated truck. Why can't? They could ship fruit, like, you know, like one of them edible arrangements thing. Send us an edible arrangement. They're a bit pricey, but they're really good for
you. I don't know. I'm all for the cookie bouquet.
As long as it's an edible arrangement covered in chocolate.
Do they do that?
Yes, they do.
Because I got my mom
they
that on Mother's
do,
Day.
They have, they'll put chocolate-covered strawberries in them and stuff like that.
Really?
Mm.
I'm totally down for chocolate-covered strawberry.
Yeah, I got my mom one for Mother's Day a few months ago.
Those things are cool.
They're expensive.
Yeah, they are.
They're
super. Cool.
They're really well. They're really well done, and you know, we're not getting paid by edible arrangements or anything like that either. You'll see, there'd be a banner on the site now.
Well, I was at the store earlier today, and I bought blueberries.
What for? What are you dying?
No idea. I have absolutely no. I just I was like. I want.
What new game is being played at the Bear Den now?
I want blueberries. So I bought, and they were 2 for $5. So I got 2 little cases of blueberries.
You do realize those are fruit.
Insane. Yeah. Yeah, I was shocked too. I had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
Did they, like, just jump in your basket?
No.
Did someone else
haven't you
put
seen
them in
Salem's
there?
Lot? I mean, it's like a crucifix to a vampire with you and fruit. I've never seen you eat fruit
I
before.
Saw them from across the way.
Oh,
and
your
like,
eyes met?
Yes, and I'm like, I haven't had blueberries in forever.
Yeah. You play in the background, too?
Blueberry. Duck. That's the John Marshall thing or whatever.
Well, speaking of, I have to give an update. Sorry, I have to take the floor on this one. Speaking of updates, I've officially made the 50-pound mark on my weight loss.
Woo!
For me.
Awesome.
I got the sticker thing that says, yay, I did it. That's what it says on there.
Yay,
it's 50
I did
pounds.
It.
It's a rainbow thing, too. I should show
wow.
you.
Wow. You should give it to Doug.
It's cool. I got to stick it on one of my cabinets. It says, yay, I did it, 50 pounds. I'm like, cool. I'm out of here. So, got to give a shout out to the Ohio Ghost Conference from last weekend.
Absolutely.
Bonnie and Doug get Vapor Award because they kind of came out.
We whooshed
you
in.
You guys totally whooshed
I
in.
I was there long enough to buy stuff.
Did the conference.
Yeah, yeah.
And whooshed out.
And drink.
Yeah.
When?
Friday night.
That's oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting weekend because there was a host of really fantastic people there.
Absolutely.
First, I'd like to mention the Mansfield Reformatory people were there. Scott Zuckel, Chris, and Amy were there, who are some of the volunteers.
Amy's really good at the sneak spanking.
Yeah.
So I have to say. Absolutely. She's really, really good at
really
it.
Really good at it.
Well, they, I actually
been
got my,
watching the Master.
I actually have it hanging off my I have, like, the tag thing, much like I used to have when I used to play in a band.
Yeah.
I used to have all my you know, remember we used to get all our tags and stuff, and I collect them still. And I have a bunch of tags I keep from all the conferences we go to now. And I officially received my Ohio State Reformatory volunteer badge that I would wear. So there's going to be, me and Scott Zuckel talk for a while. And, I'm going to be doing another thing, another guest appearance, I guess you call it. So, yeah, you know, special appearance.
Oh, here we
last
go.
One, last one was at the Yankee Candle store, and this one's going to be at Ohio State Reformatory.
Have you noticed that they only want Scott?
They
don't want us at all.
I know. Well, that gives us a lot more freedom because we could go to Indiana. At any given moment, we can go down to the winery in Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, I love the winery.
Buy a
in
case
Indiana.
Of wine and a couple of straws and go at it.
And I'll be at the.
So
prison
I, really,
going, I
really
wish
really
I was drinking
like that
wine
plan.
With those guys.
I really, really like that plan.
Oh.
But Mansfield Reformatory people were there. It was fantastic hanging out with those guys, Scott and Chris and Amy. They're fantastic friends of ours, and you know we've known them for years. So thanks, guys. For James A. Willis was there, of course.
Absolutely.
You know, and his lovely wife Stephanie. Some of the nicest people we know. Bob Honeycutt.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
We've hung out with him before. Hilarious. We've got to talk with him, but we really got to hang out a lot. So you guys weren't there for the Saturday night party that Brian Klein put on.
No, we missed it.
That they made the hairy nipple buffalo thing. I forget what they call it. The buffalo hair thing. Which was like, it was in a big cooler, and it was like this fruit thing. It was like Don Q and vodka and a host of other horrible liquors that are bad for you, mixed in with fruit juice to give it some color, right? And a bunch of fruit was thrown in there, too.
Right.
Like strawberries and all this stuff. And I had about three or four of those things, and man, my third eye was squeegeed very cleanly. And we had a good time Saturday night. Just the whole weekend was fantastic. It was a fantastic conference. Like I said, you guys, from what I'm sure you guys enjoyed the 15 minutes that you were there.
We were there, yeah, I know, because I had to work on Saturday night.
I'm just giving you crap, by the way.
I know. It was,
it's a little participation thing we need to talk about, guys.
Hey, I made my appearance. All they signed me up for was showing up and getting my yellow M&Ms, and I did it.
And we got yellow M&Ms.
We got yellow M&Ms.
That was the first thing. Well, I got there.
Amazing.
I got there earlier.
I do have a complaint. There was no honey in our room.
Oh.
It was promised. It wasn't there.
We used it before you guys got there.
Ew.
I didn't want to think of that. Oh.
Me and Scott did. Me and Scott Tickle did.
And I just threw up in my mouth.
Oh, God. Hey, look, Scott is a great guy, and he asked, and I begged to please. So I did what I had to do, and I don't have any hair on my back anymore, but...
Well, there you go.
Okay, then.
So that was a fun conference. Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, all for the paranormal there. Awesome. No, it was a great time.
I made my appearance. I made my rounds. I bought my salt scrub, and we jetted.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was a really good time. We want to thank Brian Klein, everybody who put it on. Fantastic job, guys. All the speakers were great. I'm going to be getting up the audio here in the next couple weeks. Just give me some time on that. We do have, I know I put up the audio from the Haunted America Conference from a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a bunch of that up there. And we'll probably be adding some more to that. So it's on the downloads page. You can go check those out. But we'll be getting the stuff up in the last couple conferences as soon as humanly possible. So, yeah, thumbs up to you guys. Do it again. You know, it was awesome, dude. So, yeah, awesome.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I only got to experience half of it. Oh, but I have to say, back at the room with Amber telling us Amber stories.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There's
they need an Amber story time.
Something that happens when me, Doug, and Amber are around, and it's just magic. That's the only way I can describe it.
It
because
is.
Amber has some of the best stories ever. She somehow
Absolutely.
Gets me to open up, which is completely unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Doug just sat there and listened to us.
Oh, I soaked it all
soaking
in.
Soaking it all in.
That's why I was down the hall drinking Jack with the Mansfield people.
I was like, oh, wow, this is great stuff. You can't pay for this stuff. And it was amazing. It is magic.
It is.
And they should have, at every conference that Amber goes to, they should have an Amber story time.
Really?
And
people
would pay tickets.
Definitely.
Pay for tickets, I'm telling you. I think it's amazing.
Okay. Maybe we should look into this.
It absolutely
Well, Amber, you know, Amber finished her book.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Amber.
That's a big thing. I mean, that's something you guys are going to be hearing more and more about here, you know, because, well, she is my girlfriend. So she actually finished her book up, and, you know, this is going to really be bad, and I hope she never listens to this this broadcast, because I totally forgot. I know the name of it, but, well, you know, that's why we have a computer in front of us. So, okay, there it is. Cool. Ghosts and Legends of Michigan's West Coast. That's Amber's book that she just got finished up, and that's going to be coming out here pretty soon. We're going to be talking to her about that down the road when she gets that.
Excellent.
So you're going to be seeing her out about on the circuit. That's what they call it now, the circuit. The conference circuit. We're going to be on the circuit going all over. You'll see us at her table, at our table with her book. So you guys should all pick that up. It's on Amazon right now, actually. You can check that out. Go to Amazon, type in Amber Rose Hammond.
Oh, it's available for pre-order.
Yeah, it isn't out officially yet. It's on its way out. It's still being pressed right now, but it's done. It's in the can.
That is way cool.
Should definitely check that out. But we'll have copies at the conferences we go to also. Just go to our appearances page, the appearances page, where we're going to be appearing at over the country for you people for the rest of the year. So, yeah.
Could we have, like, some winter appearances in, like, Hawaii, California, and Florida? That'd be great.
That's what we need.
Well, none of these people will pay to travel us out there. That's the only problem. I'd be more than happy, but that's a lot of money for us to throw out to go on the road. Because, I mean, as you people know out there who've ever talked to us, pretty much everything we do, we pay for it.
Yep.
You know, it's just, that's true. We like just being there. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It makes it a little easier on the conference people. You know, they got a lot of money to put out already. So, you know, yeah, if there's a conference going on in Hawaii, I'd like nothing better than to go there, but that's a lot of money for a paranormal conference. So, yeah, you know, maybe it's something we'll look into. Who knows? We'll see what's up. Anything else? I'm trying to think if there's...
Air show.
Imagine the air show.
Instead of going ghost hunting or anything productive, I went to the air show. Well, I didn't go to it. I just stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
And on my back deck, I just simply would look straight up in the air.
Mm.
And there were these, they call them the Thunderbirds, would fly over in tight formation. It was just absolutely incredible. I mean, the power was awe-inspiring.
Over your house?
Over the house.
Well, you're right by Selfridge, Joe.
Exactly. And I think next year we need to have an event at my house on Airshow Weekend.
A party?
Yes.
We'll call it an event, but really it's going to be... Drunken debauchery?
That's pretty much how they
are.
Excuse
to get loaded.
Yay.
There you go.
Can we somehow find a way to get, like, soldiers over there?
Well, that's going to be difficult because I don't know any
Michigan-based soldiers. I don't want shoulders.
Soldiers.
I want soldiers.
Blah, blah, blah.
Hot cut soldiers.
Wow.
In uniform. Please.
He had them out in front of his house a couple weeks ago. Anyways, they were landscapers.
That's true.
We come pulling up, and I saw this one. I'm like, holy crap, he's got an 8-pack. That guy's a monkey.
And you didn't call me why.
Well, you know, Larry had dibs, I guess. I don't know. But everybody who walked...
Even I looked.
Everybody
like,
who walked
crap,
in
man.
The house that day was like, holy cow!
That guy's a monster. Yeah, he's out there just, you know, and he's just going... That's like the music I could hear him. It's like with the Eye of the Tiger look, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, we talk. I'm like, hey, do you mind if I park in the driveway? You guys still working? No, we're just fine. Thank you. Have a nice day. God, look at this landscaping company. That's kind of sweet, man.
Adonis Landscaping.
Yeah. I was like, why don't you just like freeze him, take him to a taxidermist, and stick him in the front yard, like holding his hand out or something, like he's getting ready to like pull the sword of Excalibur out of. I don't know. I mean, he'd be perfect for a lawn ornament.
Yes. Some of the landscapers were absolutely perfect looking. I was shocked.
I agree.
I expected, you know, short, greasy, large people with
cigarette
dangling out the mouth.
Yeah, we'll be done in a couple days.
That's not at all offensive to landscapers everywhere.
But they sent over quite a crew.
Yeah.
And,
they did a good job. Please, awesome.
In the future. I'm going to need the name of that company.
Right. Let's pimp them. Redline. What do they call
that?
Redline.
Redline.
Redline. Redline. There you go. They got their
first
motion.
Can I ask specifically for the Adonis?
Well,
can we get the Ken crew basically to come over here, please? The ones that are just cut out of wood, please. I got to mention, I did something this weekend that I shouldn't have done.
Sex with a goat.
That was last weekend.
Speaking of...
I don't know where it came from.
Why the hell did you say that?
Wow!
It just popped into my head.
That's going to get taken totally out of context, and the rumors are going to start spreading. I'm going to be on the cover of the Inquirer. It's going to suck, Bonnie.
Yeah, because you're that important. Go.
And Bonnie comes out of the tunnel. There she is. She's gone.
Okay, so did you invent time travel, go back and kill the dinosaur?
No, I almost killed myself, though.
Oh!
Well, I got out the Amber side of town, and I needed to get...
She's still out.
I know she's still out. She's going to be out for the rest of the show.
Put her back in.
She told me I had sex with a goat.
Well, I'm
no, she was guessing.
I'm just going to leave then. Well, you know, based on what I know, I took an educated guess.
We were, after all. I'm not going to finish that sentence.
How many times have we been drunk together? Have you ever seen me go after any farm animals?
Just the lack
Seriously.
No, but I've
Have
never seen any...
Have we ever been around for a
I've never seen any come around, and there must be a reason. I think they're scared.
Doug is on to something. Anyway, no, I got the Amber side of town, and I had to get my walk in, right?
Yeah.
I had to get my walk in. I usually do the pier. I go
through the fields.
By the goat.
By the goat.
You know, we do have King Fowley from the stands coming on. He'll run with it. You know, he's a sick bastard. He's crazy. Yeah. You know, he's crazy.
I hope he's listening right now.
Like, right on, brother. You go get those farm animals. Yeah. I had to do my walk on the pier, though. It's about a 3-mile shot, and I just want to get that done for the day. And the weather was just coming in. It was, like, rough weather. You know, you shouldn't be by the water in rough weather. And I'm doing this. I don't care, you know. So as I get going, about maybe, you know, just the first, like, maybe 5 minutes starts to sprinkle on me. I'm like, that ain't nothing. I get sweaty. I get wet. What's the difference, right? So then it just starts to pour on me. I'm like, I run under something and sit under there. And I wait a couple, and it's just, like literally 5 minutes, it was gone. So I start flying down, you know, going on the pier, and I get out to the actual pier area, like, you know, the on the boardwalk, and then, the boardwalk. Okay, so, like, I get out on the pier, though, over under the boardwalk. It's a song popped in my head.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I was trying to think of the rest of the lyrics.
I obviously have the attention span of a fly again, so I can't even tell my own stories without getting distracted. But I get out on the pier, though, and I'm watching the waves just, like, crash over the thing. Just water flying back and forth. I'm like, wow, that is cool, man. And I don't live on the water, so I'm stupid. I'm like, that's cool. I want to go play on that, right? That just looks like a lot of fun. So I go flying up the thing, you know, and this water just, it's covering. I mean, by this time, my feet are soaking wet. It's like, you know, that sound your feet make when they're wet. My shoes are just totally waterlogged, and I'm just flying. I'm just going through. Water's crashing up. I'm like, I'll be fine. Nothing's going to get wet. You know, nothing important. Just, you know, my shirt and shorts. Who cares? Swing around, you know, do my pond or the sea or the lake. Wow, that's really cool. And then I come back around, and I start shooting back. And I'm like, okay, I got to hurry and get off this thing because the weather was starting to get worse and worse. And all the guys are out there trying to surf it.
Of course.
I'm going to surf this thing. And I'm just cruising along, and all of a sudden, this Uber wave just comes. And I look behind me, and I just see this thing. It's like you've seen the movies, you know?
So everything goes in slow motion.
Yeah, I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't good. You know, and I'm like, I don't think they grab anything. Which, you know, thankfully, it didn't matter. I didn't fall. But the water just went, boom, and just crashed all over me, dude. I'm like, all right. I felt pretty good. I'm like, I'm having fun, honestly. I think this is pretty hilarious. I mean, this is like an adventure, like, you know, kind of like, you know, the soldier, you know, going through enemy lines with gunfire. I'm trying to imagine I'm doing that, like I'm something tough, right? And I just get hit with this massive wave, and I'm like, okay, great. And I feel my pockets are soaking wet.
Yeah.
Guess what's in my pockets?
Your keys.
Well,
your wallet.
My wallet.
Your wallet.
What else?
Your MP3 player.
And my cell phone.
Oh!
Pull my cell phone out. It don't look too bad. It's got water on it. It looks all right. I'm like, okay, cool. Pull out the MP3 player, which is a different story.
I don't know.
The whole LED inside is, like, covered with water. It's still working. The jams are still, they're kicking out.
Yeah.
I'm having it's rocking still in my head, but, like, it's totally wet. I'm like, I just went through a whole drama thing with the MP3 players, as you know. And I'm like, I just broke this one that started working again. Great. So the whole time, I'm like, the whole way back, I'm like blowing it.
So he blew a goat.
I blew an MP3 player. I didn't blow a goat, I blew an MP3 player. So, long story short, I get it home, and I'm like, oh my God, Amber. Like, she's like, what were you doing? I tell her what happened. She's like, are you stupid? People get killed out there. They get thrown off the pier. They get caught in the undertow, and they die. What's wrong with you? Why did you go all the way out there? Like, whatever, I'm not dead, I survived it, but my MP3 player, I think it's dead, though. Well, I ended up blow-drying it out.
With a blow dryer.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I did it automatically. You know, I didn't do it manually.
Oh,
with a blow dryer.
Yeah, you plugged one in the wall.
Yeah. And it ended up drying the sucker out. Totally dried it out, and it still works.
Awesome.
I was like, for this piece of crap that I cheap MP3 player, I'm like, this thing's kind of bad. It was wicked. So, yeah. But, yeah, it was quite an adventure watching the water just crash in from back and forth. Dude, it was cool. But, yeah, I don't suggest doing that. I learned my lesson the hard way. I nearly broke a $30 MP3 player, which isn't that much money for an MP3 player nowadays.
Right.
But still, $30. So that was my big thing of the weekend. The rest of the weekend was just hanging.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't get to go no air shows, though.
So you experienced the awesome power of Mother Nature.
Lake Michigan at her finest, yeah.
I experienced the awesome power of, you know, testosterone-laden soldiers flying their Thunderbird.
Well, now you know why I like monster trucks.
Yeah,
same thing, dude.
Same crap,
except they're just on the ground. These guys are up in the air. It's
right, right.
We went to that monster truck show on Monday.
Yeah.
And I mean,
That's
what I mean. I go there. An hour and a half away for it. But I mean, that's part of the fun. It's just that the feeling of the power of these 2,000 horsepower engines just go through your chest. I mean, these are big, loud machines, and much like jets and stuff.
Do
like
they
that.
Go 650 miles an hour?
No, they don't.
Wow, Doug.
Can they break the speed?
Well, they can do slap wheelies, though.
Oh. Well, yeah.
See, this weekend was tame for me. It was last weekend that I lived an episode of Jerry Springer.
We heard you were fighting with everybody.
I was not fighting with everyone.
I know. I had a very, very late... I had to rush home from the...
Doug was disappointed because he had to leave the graduation party.
Right, and I had to go do my work, which was actually very tame compared to what Bobby went through
after work. It's a graduation party. Everything's fine and hunky-dory until someone gets drunk and an argument breaks out because, you know... Everyone at
that's
any
what the Spittler family
any,
does.
Give, hey, watch
I
it,
just
Mister.
That's what
no,
it was.
No! It wasn't a Spittler.
Hey, the Irish
this
side
was
not a Spittler that started this.
Oh, really?
It was a Spittler that finished it, but it was not a Spittler that started.
There's
it.
There's a statement. The Spittler didn't start it; they finished.
They
it.
They finish it.
Anyways, someone got drunk.
Bonnie Spittler got into a knife fight. The knife lost.
Started an
Bonnie
argument.
Bonnie Spittler can be seen from space.
I am big enough. Anyways. started a fight.
Bonnie Spittler doesn't do push-ups. She pushes down the earth and comes back. We could just take the Chuck Norris jokes and apply them.
I know.
Okay, I'm trying.
Okay,
anyways. How can I put this nicely? My niece's boyfriend got into an argument with her when they were told to knock it off because they were in the front yard screaming and it was like midnight. The boyfriend apparently grew a set of beer testicles and decided he was going to take on the world.
Oh, that's always fun.
And I was fine. I just stood back watching like it was a really bad episode of Jerry Springer until he threatened my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got in on it.
Did somebody finally hand his ass to him?
And then, no, he took off.
Oh, well, like any hard guy would.
Yes, because he is a hard guy. But the hard guy finished it by charging at me like he was going to hit me.
All right.
And I just stood there.
That's funny, dude.
I did not move, not an inch, didn't flinch, nothing. I was like, okay, bring it. Because he's walking down the street and he's like, yeah. If you want a piece of meat, you know where I'll be. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, quivering in the corner with a puddle of piss, it sounds like to me.
All I did, I stood right there. I said, okay, you want to play that? You know where I am.
Mm.
If you want a piece, bring it.
Sorry.
I didn't say it quite as nicely as that, but that's cleaned up for radio. Anyways, he came charging at me like he was going to hit me, and I just stood there. I'm like, okay, bring it. But
how old is he, like?
23.
This is the same one that cowered behind and then went and hid when people came to the door looking for him.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hid behind me.
Hid behind two girls.
Coming to a trailer park near you.
While we took, you know, the blows that were meant for him. Anyways.
Yeah.
So then
we didn't take care of that. This is getting a little personal, but
so
hey,
then
we're supposed to handle that, weren't we?
Well, I never found out who it was. Now I would like someone to handle him.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's right in here, sir.
Permanently. Escort him to a different state and just drop him somewhere. But anyways.
It's always the Detroit River.
So then
Guatemala.
My niece and my niece got into it. And then my other niece and this niece got into it. It was just, it was uncontrollable, irrational.
Sounds like the winery.
Drinking behavior. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when a little too much testosterone is mixed with liquid courage, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're glad to see you got through it okay.
Oh, I got through it fine.
We heard about that. I'm like, oh, God. What's next over there? What's
I was completely unscathed.
Well, you know, that's just kind of the motif. We, you know, people are stupid. I think we should.
Absolutely.
We're going to break on that. Because
I like that. The moral of this half hour is
People are stupid.
They're just, whether you're in the paranormal, you're not in the paranormal, there's idiots in both camps. Well, there's a lot of idiots in both camps. What do we got coming up here, Doug? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, oh. King Fowley, of
King
course.
Fowley. Speaking That's of testosterone.
Yeah, there we go.
King's a great guy. It's going to be fun to talk to him again.
Evidently, they're coming to Michigan.
Yes, they are.
That is exciting.
We'll discuss it. Yeah, we'll discuss it.
I love that plan.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Yeah, and a lot more coming up. We got a lot of stuff going on tonight. It's kind of a busy night. I know we kind of mentioned that one quick note is I want to say, yeah, we kind of piled the guests up the last couple times we've been on the air. It's going to stop. We're going back to two guests a show again.
Okay.
I want to get King on there.
Well, you have to. Yeah, I mean,
King fired me an email and said, hey, brother, we're coming to Michigan. I'm like, oh, yeah, come on the
Even
show. That'd be great.
Email sounds like that. That's
Yeah, it does.
He's a hilarious guy. We're going to have fun talking to him. He's got an interesting story to tell us, too.
Awesome.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly
Talk! The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun. The show has a little for everyone. Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Thank you. Bear Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. But it's at Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you got to do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. Bye.
Man, this is always fun.
This is it.
One thing about Ghostly Talk, as you people know, is that this is 100% completely independently done show. We've been doing it like this since day one. And we're always out there, you know, talking to other shows that do the same thing or other musical, you know, artist bands that do the same thing. And growing up, there was a band that, you know, for the newer listeners out there, there was a band I used to listen to. I still listen to. so he's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? No. Well, there's a band I grew up listening to that I still listen to today called Deceased, who have been doing it on their own since day one. And that's why I've always had a ton of respect for these guys. And we've had their music in rotation on the show for years now. We had King, who's on the line making fun of me as we speak, a couple
and
years
I
ago.
And I love you for that.
But King was nice. We'll throw this out a couple times here because like a week ago or a week and a half ago, King fired me an email and said, hey, dude, we're playing at Max Bar in Lansing, Michigan on the 28th of August, which is like next weekend, as a matter of fact. I'm like, well, you got to come on the show again, man. That'd be totally cool to talk to you again. So King is here. King Fowley from Deceased is here. Hello, King.
I am here.
You are here, man. You come blowing through like you did last time. It's so great to have you here and to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks a lot for keeping the ghostly stuff alive, man.
Oh, no, that's what we do here, you know. And, you know, that's...
keep on keeping on. Yeah.
Well, see, you guys always, that's what always made you guys so much fun to listen to, even to this day, is you guys have always kind of took on those subjects in your music and your lyrics, you know, your writing. There's a lot of songs about the supernatural and things like that, and that's always been something with Deceased. I mean, I've always equated you guys with the supernatural on that point, because you guys have always talked about cool stuff like that.
Absolutely, totally into it, totally believe in it, totally, you know, felt, you know, seen a lot of crazy stuff in my 41 years of life.
Yeah, and you know, a couple things, let's do a couple, give me a couple updates. I've heard a few things around the block. Are you guys working on a new album right now?
We actually are. We're working on a new album. We've been working on it since 2005. We've had a lot of stuff go on with the band, like one of the main guys, Mark, he left the band 2 years ago.
I know.
Out of the blue. I couldn't even tell you. I haven't even talked to Mark in almost 2 years now.
Are you kidding me?
I couldn't tell you what exactly happened. I mean, there was no falling out that I knew of, nothing. He just one day said he was done with it. He reached a point in his life he wanted to move on. He got with a girl. He left the country. He actually lives in the Virgin Islands now. We haven't talked to him. He pretty much just stopped talking to all of us in the band one day. It was very strange and still strange.
That's a bummer. Mark was one of the, he's one of the original members of the band.
Yeah, he was the third guy in. I mean, he was 1 year after me and Doug started in 84. 85 era, he came in like, you know, within 6 months he was in the band, you know, and he was there all the way up till 2007.
Oh, we got to meet him, too. That's when we met him.
Yeah, absolutely. The last time we played there, I mean, you know, we grew up together, known the guy 25 years. It's crazy. I mean, you know, I don't know what to think about, but, you know, we went through a lot of stuff with that. Mike stopped playing live. Mm-hmm. We brought in another guitar player for him, mm-hmm. a guy named Shane Fugel, who played with Mark, and everything was going great because Mike still wanted to be in the band. He just was never into playing live from day one. He joined in 90.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 16 years with us. He said, you know, I got to do my other things. I definitely want to be in the band. I definitely want to, you know, he's more of a like a studio guy. He loves to write and record.
Mm-hmm.
We got, brought in Shane, and Shane and Mark did it for a year. And then our drummer, Dave, had a kid with a girl, and he wanted to take a couple years off to find a permanent job and stuff and take care of his baby. So we brought in a buddy named Eric to play drums, which was Shane's friend from his other band, which was called Bionic Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Mark just comes, you know, out of the blue and actually sent me an email and just says, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. He played his last show on his 40th birthday, which was 8/25, what was it, 07.
Oh, wow.
That was it. So then I got another guy named Matt Altieri, and he actually lives in Boston, Massachusetts. So we're all spread out. Shane and Eric are in Maryland. I live in Philadelphia. Matt lives in Massachusetts, Boston, and Les lives in Texas now.
Oh, my God. Yes, I know that's one thing about you guys I've noticed is that you guys are spread all over the country now.
We are, but when we get together, man, well, the craziest thing of all this, like so many years with Mike, me, Mark, and Les doing it, and then when Dave came in, pretty much it was that for a long, long time. But now that this is going on, when we get together, we rehearse so hard and stuff, and it's just an energy that's been missing for a long while. Maybe some of the guys got tired of it or older or just did it too much or something, but right now the band is in such a fine form, man. If you're coming out next week, you'll see. It's the best it's been. We just came back from 5 shows in Texas, and man, it was fantastic. I couldn't be happier and prouder of the guys that are in the band playing live now.
Well, sometimes, you know, and this is from my personal experience playing music, and even, you know, sometimes even with Ghostly Talk here, sometimes we get kind of run down. We got to find things to inject new life into what we're doing here to keep it exciting. And I know with bands I've played in, we've had to bring in other people or people got tired of doing it. And sometimes, unfortunately, I know Mark was a big part of your guys' life and part of the band for so many years, but sometimes people just, they get burned out, you know.
Exactly.
Move on.
I mean, you know, at some point, too, you have to make a decision, you know, if you're going to pay the bills, if you're going to work a full job, because you can never really do an underground metal and trying to play out and stuff. It's fine and dandy if you sit and don't do nothing more than just kind of, you know, write stuff and release CDs. But if you want to play out and do gigs and stuff, that takes up a lot of time and a lot of money. And we all know playing songs called Streets from the Hearse and stuff like that ain't paying the bills. And it's fine. I've never been about the money. I'm about just getting out and playing and having fun. And, you know, to me, going and gigging even is almost like vacation. Every weekend I want to go and do it because, it's, you know, I don't mind spending some money to have fun and stuff, and that's just how it is. But everybody looks at it a different way. Luckily, the guys that are in here now doing it really want to do this, and it just feels right, man. I'm so happy it's going on. But back to the album and stuff. It's going to be called Surreal Overdose. We've got 6.5 of the 8 tunes written. We're going to finish it in the next 2 months writing, rehearse it all winter, and release it in March of 2010, which is our 25th anniversary as a band.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we're going to do a full U.S. tour. Full U.S. tour. We're going to try to hit as many states as we can. We're going out. All of us are going, and we're going to do it right, finally.
Well, I was going to ask you, have you guys ever done a full-blown, like get in the bus or van or whatever it is and go to as many places as you can, like within a year or something like that? Have you guys ever done anything like that before?
We've tried. It's always ended up a lot of weekends and then some weekdays. We've done some like 2 week stints. Like we did one of those Contamination tours when we were on Relapse with some of those bands like Exhumed and Cephalic Carnage and stuff, but never really got to go, you know, no coming back for a while.
Now, one thing I got to mention, too, about Deceased for people out there who are listening. Deceased, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong, King, but Deceased was the first band ever signed to Relapse Records. Am I correct?
That is correct for a full-length album. They actually had a couple punk bands that were friends of Matt, who, when he lived in Colorado, Felco Overdose, and there was another band. I don't even remember what they were called. They were just little crossover bands that they just put out 45s for, but they never really signed deals, but they were released first. And then he came to me and said, we want you to be our first signing, and we were. I think we actually signed early 1990, maybe even Christmas of 89, and then we recorded the first album in 90, and it came out in, I believe, 91.
Luck
of the Corpse.
Luck of the Corpse, and that was, you know, anybody, you know, a lot of people, from my influence, I guess, on this show, you know, just doing, you know, doing the music and stuff like that. I've always invited Doug to bring in some of his bleep blop stuff to put on there. If you can get somebody to put on some of his pop stuff, but doing the music, I mean, I guess we've got kind of the reputation now where we play a lot of hard music, a lot of metal, bleep blop. Yeah, your bleep blop stuff. I see you
I have bleep blop.
No, I like the bleep blop stuff too. But we get a lot of people, and I mean, people out there listening. You know, Relapse Records is a huge label now. I mean, they're a major independent. I guess you call them a major independent or something like that.
Yeah, they've definitely gone a long way.
Yeah, they've gone a long way. But you guys,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you guys were the first band to ever release a full length with those guys. So
that's right. We did, let's see, 1, 2, 3, I think we did like 5 records with them in our time we were there. We left in 2003, reason being that it just became hard to deal with them, a lot of false promises, a lot of just new angles for them, stuff that, I mean, I'm not really big on the business side of things, but you have to do that if you're dealing with people and money and releases, and, you know, of course, they're out to make a dollar and stuff, but it just became so damn hard to deal with, man. I mean, it was like everything coming out of their mouth was BS, just across the board, and that's the truth, and I don't have a problem saying that, and I told them that, and I, you know, people were like, oh, how could you leave Relapse? It's so big. You really hurt your band. It didn't hurt our band. Our band will be here before they were here, and we'll be here after they're gone.
Well, I think you guys, personally, after you got off that label, your music got even, I mean, every album I think you guys have put out has been brilliant, but the last album was the best thing I've heard in years from you guys, honestly.
Got a great budget. Guy from Puerto Rico, a friend named Ray Lopez, put it out on Fresh Corner Records. He was doing it out of his house. He put up a bunch of money. We went to a proper studio, a good friend of ours. And then after that, you know, when it came out, we were so pleased. I mean, this guy worked. He makes records for Madonna. He makes records for David Bowie. So he had big-time production values. And we grew up with this guy. He was in a band called Wreckage as a kid. We used to play. And actually, one of the guys that played bass for Weezer, he tried out. He wanted to be in Deceased so bad growing up. He was this guy, Matt Sharp, who played on the first Weezer album.
And
we used to practice in his basement. And he actually joined them for a while because we didn't take him in the band. We were just... He was always a goofy kid. So we grew up with this guy, Kevin Gutierrez, and then he got this great studio called Assembly Line, and Raven just recorded there. He's done stuff with a lot of things. He's worked with Mariah Carey, I think it is, and Rick James, like the stuff Rick James, after he died, he remixed it or something. A lot of crazy stuff going on there. It was totally cool with Ray and everything. And then after that, now the new record will be on my own label called Shrieks from the Hearse Records, which I'm doing. It's pretty much the same thing as Ray. I'm putting up the money. The band's putting it out. We're getting it out. I've got enough connections being in this for so long now that it's just kind of what it is nowadays, you know, with the internet and just having a lot of connections. It really is a lot easier to move it yourself.
Yes, as the Weird Travel Line. That's the album I was talking about.
That was it, 2005.
I remember talking to Dave, your drummer, when you guys played in Hamtramck here, and I was like, this is the best album. This album is flawless. Me and my girlfriend, you met my girlfriend that night too, and we were like,
we talked
about that album several times since then. I'm like, there's not one Duff track on this thing. Every single track just slams on that album. So I can't doubt that you're going to put another album out just like that. I mean,
it's a long. I mean, I want to say it's the same thing again. It's not. It's definitely 4 years on here.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it was written in the last 2 years. And like I said, with the stuff with Mark, we started writing when Mark was still in the band, and we got to back up stuff, change stuff around, things like that. But it's still Deceased. It's 110% Deceased. It's, you know, what it is what it is. We're not following any trends. We don't care what year it is, who's in, who's out, what we look like.
Yeah.
It's just Deceased music. It'll be 2010, and then we're coming to get you on tour.
And I have to mention one more thing. We have to get into some ghost stuff here because people are like, man, wow, this is where we're listening to Hit Parade or radio or something. No.
What if they was Scott Ian?
Yeah. No, but one thing I used to. Back like years ago when you guys used to actually have the website up to tombstones.com. I think that was
is coming back in a couple weeks.
Oh, you still have it? Okay.
Well, it's coming back is up to tombstones.net. It's coming back. It's a new website.
Okay.
That's another thing with Mark. He was running that when he was in the band. When he left, it kind of went crazy.
Went down.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but I used to love to go to that website from time to time. Because, I mean, I went through the whole thing, and it's a great website to go to. Hopefully you guys have a lot of the same pictures and stuff, because...
We're going to continue on with that stuff. We have to. It's part of our history, man,
yeah.
For sure. I mean, that was a big thing. That was one of the best things Mark ever did, was making out those stories. And,
yeah.
You know, and my back still feels a lot of them. You know, we had a lot of crazy stuff going up along the way.
Well, that website, I mean, I remember looking at all the pictures and the stories Mark, you know, put together with all these stories of their traveling and stuff like that, and it was just like looking back at my childhood, kind of minus a lot of the drugs.
Right? Yeah, that was just, yeah. Unfortunately, that was part of it for me. And I mean, the guy got out of it early enough, thank God. But yeah, I mean, it's all there, and
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
No, and it was. I'm glad to see it's coming back. Now, one thing you mentioned to me, we got to throw this thing out here or talk about it, because I have to hear this story. We're going back and forth via email this week, and I'm like, well, what do you want to talk about, King? I mean, you know, we'll talk about the show. We'll talk about some other stuff. But, you know, is there anything you want to throw? You know, is there any paranormal stuff? Because last time we had you on the show, it was just, we had a ball talking to you about it.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing, he replies with this. So I'm going to lead off with this, King. All right? Did I ever tell you the one about the attic when I first heard Venom, the band Venom? I'm like, and I saw that, I'm like, holy crap, that's awesome. So you got to tell me this story, King.
You got it. Well, what happened was, I was 12 years old. It was 1981. And I was, my mom and my stepdad and my sister and brother were going out of town. They were going up to the mountains of Luray Caverns in Virginia. I asked my mom, I said, I really don't want to go. I want to stay home. And you're going to get a little bit of the drug talk, too, is going to be in here. Okay, so it's simple stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, my mom said, well, we're going to be gone just overnight. It was going to be Saturday morning. They'll come back Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. I said, that's cool. I said, can you leave me $20, Mom? She said, yeah, I'll leave you $20 for them, you know, get through the stuff. So my mom leaves. And I'm like, well, what do I want to do with this money? Do I want to buy some weed? I'm just getting into, I mean, I'm 12 years old, man. I'm just now getting into a little bit of pot. Yeah, it wasn't a heavy, it wasn't heavy stuff. You read it on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, a buddy of mine stopped by. He gave me some weed. And then he said, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I said, well, I'm just going to probably hang in today. I'm probably going to go to the store and buy some records with my money.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all right, man, well, I'll catch you tomorrow. I'm going out, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves, and then after the time he leaves, I'm going, duh, because I'm like, I have no way to get to the record store. I should have caught a ride with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I start walking up to the mall to catch the bus to go to the record store. On the way up to the mall, I start seeing dead cats. I must have seen, this is about a two-mile walk, probably saw five dead cats.
That's
in the
good
on
day.
The sun. That's a lot of cats.
Yeah.
That's a good
thing. Anyway, I mean, it was in the middle of the road, up against the gutter, in the woods, just all I said, what the hell's up with all these cats? So it was freaking me out, right? And so I get up on the bus, I take the bus across town into Falls Church, Virginia, and I go to a store called Kid Mill Records over there. Well, I'm in there looking, and I'm like, seeing Venom, Welcome to Hell. And I'm like, damn, I always wanted to hear that band. Yeah, I was like, I'm 12 years old, you know, everything's going to be very impressionable to you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm buying this. It's $13.99 or something, crazy amount of money. Not for now, but back then it was crazy. But I'm like, I got to buy it. So I buy this record, and I also buy Raven, Wiped Out, same day. I got it for $1.99. It was in this import cutout. Something was wrong with the sleeve, so they gave it to me for $2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I didn't have enough money to get home on the bus. Now, I'd overspent my money, so I didn't have bus money home. So I was like, I'll just walk. It's about 7 miles. So I'm looking at the record all day, walking back. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I start to get home about 6:30. When I get back to my house, I'm like, you know, I'm gonna eat dinner, I'm gonna sit back, and I'm gonna go up in my room, and I'm gonna listen to these albums. So, I eat dinner, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm gonna smoke a little bit of this weed. it was a good amount, so I smoked some of it. And the first record, I said, let me open up with the Raven record, because I want to save the Venom for last. So I put the Raven on, I had the lyrics, you know, I was blown away by it. I was like, man, these guys are so fast and over the top. I love this. And I'm reading the lyric sheet. I'm like, how could anybody possibly sing this fast? And just loving it to the point that I just keep playing it over and over. I must have played the record 3 times. Now it's about 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a little break, smoke a little more of that pot. So now I'm looking. And the whole time, this Venom, and as you know, the album cover art for that, Welcome to Hell, that little goat man's looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is starting to give me a little creeps. Now it's dark out, you know. And I was like, well, all right, let's do this. So I put it on. And it comes blasting on. When it comes on, Sons of Satan is the first track on that. And it's so noisy. I'm like, if I was on the right speed, what the hell's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I start messing with it, and I'm looking at the stuff, and I'm like listening to it. And I'm like, man, this is some crazy over-the-top satanic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, it was freaking me out a little bit. And I was like, this might be a little too noisy. I was like, this isn't what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I let it play on, and I play side one out. And after that, take a little break, smoke a little pot. I'm like, that was pretty good, but I'm a little disappointed. I'm ready to put the Raven back on. Okay. So then, I finally throw over side two, which when it comes on, you get Witching Hour, and it goes into about 1,000 Days of Silence on that side. And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have this stuff playing stuff backwards, stuff on the record, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your soul's going to burn, you're going to bleed for me. I'm playing it backwards. I'm like, oh, this really is on this record, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm creeped out of my mind. I'm sitting there going, damn, you know, this is freaking me out. I'm turning the Goat's Head record backwards. I'm looking at them. The album comes against the wall now, right? So I get a little spooky just myself at this point. Then the last song comes on, Red Light Fever, and it's just so over the top, and I'm just like, man, and what's happened at this point is the music is so loud in my house and so noisy that it's like affecting my nerves to the point where I'm just like on edge because it's loud.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the record ends, I go to take the needle off, I hear a boom, and I'm like, what the hell was that? And I'm like in my room, like, whoa. And my room is on the second floor, all the way in the corner of the house, and right outside my door is my attic, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the hell? And I had my door. I had a little lock on my door because I was young and smoking pot. Then when my mommy didn't know, so. even though she wasn't home, I had the door locked, right?
Yeah.
I open up the door to see what it was, and I look, and my attic stairs have come. It was open and come all the way down.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, holy shit! You know what the hell? You know what's going on? Why did this do this? It's never done this before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm afraid to walk under the stairs and around it to look up at the attic thinking maybe there's a burglar in the house, maybe Venom's in my attic, you know, I don't know what's going on. So I'm scared. So anyway, I come around, I'm really high. I put the stairs back up, you know, I fold them up and I shut it and I make sure it's tight and looking at it, you know, I'm pulling on it and I can't even get it to come down.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back in the room And I'm like, now I'm sitting there. Now no music's on. My ears are hissing from all the loud music. And I'm just like, start thinking all this crazy stuff. Like, what made that happen? What's going on? Mm-hmm. So I start sitting there, and I just decide, I'm like, well, let me put the record back on. I go to grab the record. As soon as I touch the record to put it back on, the needle on the record again, the damn thing does it again. It's so loud. It's like not even, you know, it's just wooden stairs. You would think it wouldn't be as loud, but it was like, kaboosh.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my God, it's happened again. So all I did was open the door, and I saw the stairs were down. And so then I was like, you know what? I'm leaving them. I'm not going around there. Something's freaking me out. I'm just going to stay in my room, locked in my room until morning at this point. So I lay in my room, and I'm all night. I'm hearing, like, these noises in my attic. I hear, like, it sounds like something's rocking up there. We don't have no rocking chairs. I'm hearing, like, a creak, like these creepy creaks and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very high. And I got my face up against the wall. I am really scared out of my mind. Even when I'm telling this back now, it's giving me the creeps from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So then I finally fall asleep. The morning comes around, and I wake up, and I'm not even remembering what happened last night. I just wake up, and the first thing I do is get out of bed, and I'm getting ready to go to the door, and unlock the lock to go out. And all of a sudden I think, I'm like, oh, man, I forgot about the stairs, and I'm expecting them to be down. I open the door. The stairs are back up, folded, and closed.
Oh, my God.
And I am, like, freaking. And I'm like thinking, well, my mom must have come home sometime last night. Maybe there was a problem. I look out the window. Don't see any cars. Nothing. I said, you know what? I'm not leaving this room for a minute. I'm going to get my thoughts to me. I'm yelling in the house. My mom, everybody, just, hey, anybody here? Nobody's there.
Oh.
I said, you know what? Yeah. It was creeping me up to the point where I said, you know, I'm going to go out my bedroom window, jump off the porch top of my door outside. I'm going to jump off it downstairs. I did that. I walked down the street. I stayed gone until about 3 or 4 o'clock that day. I came back. I was walking up my street. I saw my mom's car. I was like, let me go tell her this crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
So I go walking in the thing, and when I come in the house, my mom's like, yeah, where have you been? We've been home for like 2 or 3 hours. I was like, you know, I got to tell you this story. And she goes, yeah, I got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
And I said, what? Yeah, I said, what? And she said, when I came home, the attic stairs were down. And
uh-oh.
I said, what do you mean the attic stairs were down? And she's like, yeah, what were you doing in the attic? She goes, I went up there and everything was a mess. And I was like, Mom, I got to tell you something. And I did. I even told her that I had been smoking pot. And I thought, I got to tell you all this. I was freaked out. I thought I had a devil experience.
Something, obviously, I mean, we've heard, okay, I got to relay this because we only got a couple minutes, because as you were telling this story, it made me think of something, and I know you hate this band, King, because we've discussed this band before, but Celtic Frost. I know you do not like Celtic Frost. But,
I'm not a big fan, but yeah.
But I have to relay this one, because the album To Megatherion, which is like my, you know, everybody's favorite album by that band, the album cover, and you've seen the cover, I've shown you the cover, Doug.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
And I mean, it is one of the creepiest looking things I've ever seen. It was an artwork by H.R. Giger, and they used that for the cover of the album, and it's a very haunting looking cover. Just look it up, Celtic Frost, To Megatherion, people listening out there. And I mean, I used to literally be scared of that album. I mean, I used to love to listen to it, but I was like scared to look at that album cover. It used to freak me out when I was a kid.
Right.
And one night,
one
night, though, it was, like, really late. I was, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, 14, 15. And it was late at night, like, you know, for that time, like, 12. You know, now it's, like, 5 a.m., you know, or whatever. But, like, back then, 12 o'clock, you're staying up that late. That's, like, ooh, you're staying up late. My parents were sound asleep. And I was listening to that album, and it was actually they have like, this instrumental collage thing they do, and it's called Tears in a Prophet's Dream. That was one of the songs, right? And I was listening to that and creeping myself out late at night, and I'm looking at the thing trying to scare myself even more, because it used to really scare me. And I'm like, I gotta use the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom, and I do my thing there, and I come back out, and I go in my room, and for some reason I had my toothpaste sitting on the corner of the bedstand next to my bed.
I'm
right?
not gonna comment.
Who would use toothpaste, Bonnie?
You are weird right? enough.
I know, but all right. It was there. It was there for some reason. I don't remember now. But I was sitting there, and I had a laundry basket on the floor filled with laundry I had to put away still. And I'm sitting there, and, you know, the sounds are coming through all spooky and creepy and stuff like that. And as I walk in, I stand there, and I'm listening to it like, oh, cool. And for some reason, that toothpaste tube just literally didn't fall, okay? It shot off the table, and it just fell into the laundry basket in front of me.
And I've told this story before on the show here. I know I have told this story. But I immediately turned off Celtic Frost and, like, slept on the couch. Like, I'm done.
At least it didn't get you in trouble with your mom.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it was one of them weird things with music, though. Same thing that you had, King. I mean, just a weird
thing. Yeah, it was
thing.
Weird because my mom said after it happened, she was like, oh, you were doing drugs. Yeah, that probably explains it all. I was like, Mom, I never walked up in that attic at all. I flipped the stairs once. I woke up. When I came out, they were back up. I said they came down a second time before I went to bed. I told her the whole story I just told you, and she was just like, this is crazy. But the weirdest thing about it was, okay, after that, as I got older and stuff, and I lived at the house a lot growing up, because it was kind of like my mom had her own side of the house and stuff, and we kind of, like, the kids just grew up on the other side of the house.
Yeah.
And I'd come upstairs and go to bed a lot, and the attic always used to just kind of hang a little bit, where you could kind of see that little 3 inches of, like, darkness there, the little, you know, across the top there. You know, kind of attic I'm talking about, right, with a little string and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep, every time I go by, I always think I'm seeing, like, something's up there peeking at me or something, and it just kind of, like, became a thing as I got older and stuff. I always thought, yeah, there's something up in that attic, right? Well, we finally moved. We were in that house from 75 till 2000. We lived there. In 2000, we were moving, and the last night, my mom said, you know what? Everything's gone from the house, but I don't want to leave the house unattended. She said, would you mind just staying in the house, because the next day would be the end of it. I said, sure, I'll stay in the house. So I was in my bedroom, and I had just, at this point, all I had there was a little mattress. It wasn't even a real mattress, like a fold-out. And as I, when I was trying to go to sleep, I looked over at my door. I had my door open because there was nothing in the house at this point, so I'm just trying to keep an eye on the house. I look over, and I started hearing these little voices, like, calling my name. And I swear to you, I heard, Kingsley, don't leave here. Kingsley, don't leave here. I must have heard about 3 or 4 dozen times throughout the night. And it was freaking me out. It was no power. Everything was out of the house completely. Everything was gone, and I just had a little candle there, and I was just like, I realized this years after I was off drugs and all that kind of stuff. So I was sitting there, I was like, you know what? I was like, either I'm just freaked out of my mind, or there really is something creepy in that attic, or there's something in that attic. And I told my mom the next day, and she goes, my mom just always said, oh, you're just such a morbid kid, you know? And I laughed at that, but it was weird. It was like calling me by my name and stuff. It was a real low. It wasn't even like, it seemed like more like a girl's voice. It was really weird.
Well, that's inspiration, I'd call that.
I would call
it.
It was
definitely.
I think it would be a great reason to leave there.
Hang on the line.
I thought about that. You know, people say that when you leave the house, you've been there so long, that sometimes the spirits want you to stay because they feel comfortable like that.
I
don't know. It just seemed really weird to me.
Unfortunately, we ran over, so hang on for the line for 1 second, though.
Okay.
We're going to be out there, I know for sure. Max Barr, Lansing, Michigan, the 28th of August. Deceased is playing, all you guys, all the local rubberheads around here. You guys know who you are. You know who I am, too. We're all going to be out there hanging around.
Another appearance.
We're going to be.
Hopefully, there's no attic doors there.
Yeah.
Max Attic, come on out.
Yeah, come on out. I've actually played at Max Bar before, so I know where it's at. I mean, I can't wait to go there. I haven't been there in a long time, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Come on out and see Deceased play for sure. King, hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about Sasquatch. Ooh, Bigfoot. I just absolutely can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Who are we talking to?
Jason Valenti.
Yeah, we're talking to him. Let's do that real quick. We got to fly to break here real quick. We'll be right back after this. I'm Scott. Yeah,
and
I'm
Doug.
Yeah, I'm Ben.
I want to say something real quick. I love Bigfoot. I just was watching Mysterious Monsters yesterday.
Really?
Ooh, then this next
you
hour.
You should listen to this
really
thing. Yeah, cool. All right, hang on the line.
Great.
We'll be right back, guys. Hang tight.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.